hey, if you're not making a mistake, it means you're not moving fast enough. You know, you're not taking the risk to make a change, do something better.
Welcome back to Content in Business. I'm with Patrick Wuschch, Regional Director at Profit Room, a premium booking platform for hotels and resorts. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Sai. How are you doing? Really excited to join this call.
Great. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us. And as per tradition, the first question I'll ask is, can you tell us more about Profit Room?
Yeah, I mean, most certainly. I mean, it's something that's come into my blood really for the past couple of years when it comes to Profit Room. But I mean, you've pretty much made a nice intro there already. But we are pretty much a premium booking engine provider that's been expanding globally over the past 16 years at the moment. Initially started back in Poland in 2008. So started initially as a regional kind of booking engine provider. And now more and more so we're expanding globally across global markets, whether it be in the UK, which I'm responsible for, Nordics, South Africa, Spain and Latin America, and with some more aggressive current plans globally with the Middle East and Australia and whatnot. That's in a very, very, very nutshell understanding of that.
And so that growth that you are talking about, is that, you said recently, how recent are we looking?
Pretty much actively over the past couple of weeks, a couple of months and years behind us, like in terms of, you know, we first started expanding into the UK, which was our core market out with Poland, where the company originally originated from. And we started acquiring our first clients around 2018, 2019, where we proactively started engaging in the UK market specifically, you know, looking at 4 or 5 years later down the line as we speak at the moment. We're one of the leading providers of booking technology within the UK and globally further afield now, because, you know, at the moment we're looking at some impressive growths in South Africa. And as a company as a whole, you know, we're looking at 50, 60% of hyper growth annually.
Wow. And just because I'm interested to know, when you say about the booking technology, you're talking about the booking system, I guess, front end and back end together in terms of the user interface. And then obviously, you know, that actually being integrated with the hotel's systems or you know, infrastructure.
Pretty much. I mean, in very layman's terms, it's on any hotel booking website. When you go onto the hotel's website itself, when you want to reserve a room, you would utilize Profit Room services. So there's, you know, to a certain extent, it's, you know, it's a booking technology could be looked at as a commodity because, you know, in the hotels business, it's something that you must have to be operating as a business itself. But there's so much more to it. And that's where we've excelled as a business, as a company, locally and globally, as a matter of fact, at the moment. And it's that solution that enables hotels to connect with their guests directly online and facilitate that conversion on their website.
And is the system like a plug-in to existing websites, or is there like a complete package that you know, the front end, you know, the actual website, the marketing side of a hotel's website, I guess, would be included? Or
it's very funny you say that, Sai, because it varies by market, which is quite something really bizarre, because in the UK, 100% is just like a plugin into the website. You know, as Profit Room, we're a booking technology provider. So one of the elements is the booking engine side, but we will work with the hotel's digital marketing, website development, marketing automation, CRM management. So there's multiple elements of actually direct booking success. And they're very much kind of, you know, individual silos that work together as a kind of best in class approach. That being said, you know, we work with certain clients and we're present in markets where it's seen as a website and they don't differentiate that it's a plugin into the website. That it's, as soon as you click that book now button, they see it as it's just, you know, that part of the booking journey online. But on the back end, it's actually a completely different technology to what is facilitated on the website itself. So there's two very key different elements of that. But quite frankly, yeah, we will plug into existing websites with third-party providers, into our own websites, because that doesn't, you know, doesn't really make a difference in terms of plugging into an existing client's portfolio. But it does have a big benefit to have them both together because it drives much more conversion and ultimately has much more success for their performance.
That's fascinating. So the you talked about obviously the growth and the way the business has changed. Has that journey been everything that you've expected as a business?
If I'm honest, I probably, you know, if we go like 4 or 5 years back, it's we were solely, you know, was as Profit Room, it's gone through such a transition. And that's one thing that's fascinated me within the company, because I've actually been with Profit Room just over 2 years at the moment. And I initially joined as a business development manager in the UK. And what struck my attention was that it's a Polish company where I'm originally from, even though I've not lived a day in Poland, quite frankly. And Profit Room as a solution in Poland has got a really strong presence. We have about 84% of our market share within our target market. So we're really, you know, pretty much 84% of the hotels that you go and book a room will utilize Profit Room solution, one sense of the word or another. And that's really struck my attention, how we've made that decision as a company, looking at 4 or 5 years back now, where we've decided to move away from being a Polish focused company and look at exponential growth, hyper growth within the business and transforming the entire operation from a Polish speaking company to an English spoken company, where we have currently more than 280 members of staff. I think we're soon hitting 300 members of staff in comparison to having just over 50 four years ago or so.
Wow.
So, you know, there's been some tremendous growth globally, because, you know, previously everybody was based in Polish head office in Poznań. And now we've got all these individual team members all over the world. So, you know, we've got people at the moment I'm chatting to in Cancun and Mexico. And on the other side, you've got other team members in Sri Lanka or South Africa. So, you know, you're really dealing with multiple time zones and people working across different countries with different cultures and different kind of ways of actually having to work. So it has been interesting of how we kind of collate that together. We go through that exponential growth, but we've got some amazing team members in the team, in the C-level and the board, our chief growth officer and whatnot, in terms of how we look at that exponential growth. And I think, quite frankly, we're being surprised every week, every month. You know, we're seeing new opportunities come to fruition.
I mean, what happens a lot with severe expansion, but rapid expansion, certainly in you know, the amount of workforce, is we hear so many times about challenges, you know, difficulties. Has it been a smooth process, or has there been a number of challenges to deal with on that front?
In the perfect and ideal world, I'll tell you the truth, and I'd be like, nah, it's been super easy and everything has been stable and no challenges or hiccups along the way. But quite frankly, that's the complete opposite. You know, we work in a team which is very versatile. We constantly push our team members and work together as a team to come up with new ideas, you know, break the status quo and think of the unthinkable very often. And quite frankly, when you're going through the hyper growth and you want to challenge the status quo, mistakes will happen. If mistakes don't happen, I would say, you know, I tell to my team that, hey, if you're not making a mistake, it means you're not moving fast enough. You know, you're not taking the risk to make a change, do something better. Because, you know, it's very easy to be just stagnant and sitting around and doing a comfortable job and not taking a risk. But that's where it starts getting boring. So I'd say 100%, there's been multiple hiccups today, yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, years ago. But it's about having that right culture, the right mentality that, hey, if it's a mistake, it's good, because at least we're doing something. Because if there's no mistakes, there's no progress, there's no challenge in anything, and there's no actually aspirational growth in that side. So I think within Profit Room, really that interesting thing and the exciting thing that we've seen over those years, that mistakes are accepted. And that's something nice within this culture, within the business, because it's a right way for further growth. But it's how you take those mistakes on board, how you analyze that, what's happened, why did it happen in this instance, and make sure that we do the best, that it doesn't happen, do our best to make sure it doesn't happen again. Whether it's, you know, through standard SOPs or implementing certain processes, or actually being, quite frankly, more experienced and being more aware of what's happening in the market.
I think there's two types of mistakes, isn't there? There's the mistakes that are learning based, you know, maybe based on a little bit of risk, pushing things, pushing ambitions, maybe a bit too far, but it's something that was, you know, a balanced decision. And then there's mistakes that are just, you know, lethargy and just, you know, poor quality in terms of, you know, the individual or the processes or something like that. And I think, but ultimately, like you mentioned, if you've got a good team, and a good culture, that shouldn't happen anyway. So, any of the mistakes should be welcomed, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, referring to your second kind of mistake, which is you mentioned, you know, like poor quality or whatnot, I'd actually refer to that more as ignorance or skills based, which is fine because, you know, of course, from a training's point of view, there's certain skill elements that we need to train on a daily basis with our teams globally around the world and within the UK as well, specifically. So, of course, we need to acknowledge that if there's a skills gap that we need to really facilitate. But quite frankly, if it's a skills gap, that's also not a bad thing. Cool. We know it's a mistake. We know there's a skills gap there. There's a solution to everything. So it's about, you know, identifying amongst the team, how can we come to the right solution and make sure that skills gap is filled if it's that element. But if, you know, if somebody's being quite frankly ignorant or doesn't have that motivation and lacks that element of desire to do better, then that's obviously evident in an environment where we keep on pushing in the status quo and looking at 50, 60% year-on-year growths.
And again, I guess, you know, to scale the way that you have in terms of the, you know, that amount of members of the team, that there must be a fairly strong recruitment process that you've got in place, and screening process in terms of that personality.
Yeah, I'm responsible for the UK. I'm looking at the performance of our UK market over the past year or so. And quite frankly, recruitment was one of my biggest challenges initially. So I've had to kind of change the team. We were looking at hiring a few team members on board, and now we've managed to successfully get a couple of team members on board with us. And quite frankly, we've changed the recruitment process quite drastically to make sure we recruit the right people, the right team members, and we have that full commitment on both ends because we work remotely. It's actually a bit hard to interview remote as well. You know, obviously it's after COVID. It's a few years past that now. And of course, we're all getting much more acquainted to that with the trend of people moving more and more back into the office. Quite frankly, that's not a trend that we are experiencing, and that's not something that we are looking at even or exploring within the UK or anywhere globally. But that brings challenges in terms of, okay, you know, you meet somebody on a podcast like today or on a video call and they have all the right answers, but it's about screening through and being able to, you know, look through the detail and look what might have been dropped out that you would normally be quite easily perhaps that could easily be spot on a face-to-face meeting. So we've changed our recruitment process quite a bit. We've got a strong internal recruitment team that has been of immense support. But we've had to use third-party agencies as well to support us in getting the right skills in the team.
I think ultimately there is absolutely a feel that you get as well. So many times now, the whole trust your gut, approach more often than not is the right thing to go with. You know, sometimes you just get a good feeling, or you just get something that's niggling there that you're just not sure about, and I think that is a massive part of getting the right people as well. I think you can't measure that, unfortunately. It's just something you feel, isn't it, a lot of the time?
Yeah, well, I've had candidates that we've recruited. We had about 300 applicants or whatnot for the roles as a business development manager in the UK, so we've had quite a bit of work to go through the entire recruitment process and entire pool of candidates. And then there had been a few candidates which I was really inclined to hiring, and there were some amazing candidates. And, you know, I was like, I definitely want them. But there was something there in that gut, like you mentioned, that is like, but something might not be right. And quite frankly, you know, we've made a decision one way or the other. And the candidates that we've had to thank, you know, we don't know what would have been the outcome if we hired them. We know we've hired people at the moment that we've got on board, and I'm so confident with the team that we've got at the moment, and it's already reaping the benefits, and we can see that performance difference in terms of how we manage to challenge the recruitment process, change it, amend it, and make sure it's much more relevant as well.
I love that. I love that. And obviously you mentioned, you know, the team and the culture being really important. What else are the key facets of Profit Room and the key elements that have got the business to where it is today?
You know, there's terminologies of B2B, B2C, or whatever within sales and within business modeling. And quite frankly, the unique space and where we are within the business is that we're a B2B platform, where we work with hotels, but we're actually B2B2C, where we provide that solution for the hotels to be able to ensure they can connect much better and within the website, within the booking process, to secure that reservation directly with their guests and actually be able to facilitate and grasp all that information from the booking journey into the CRM and into the booking platform to drive those conversions for the existing bookings that they're coming in, for any future ones as well, but building loyalty around the brand. You know, we are within the hospitality industry, where we work closely with some unique accommodation providers globally. And, you know, it's all about the brand, and it's all about making sure we fit well within the hotel brand itself. It's not about Profit Room. It's actually about how we can serve and work to the benefit of our hotel partners. And, you know, it's been some turbulent times for the hotel industry in the UK and globally, quite frankly, you know, with COVID, inflation prices, with the cost of living crisis in the UK, you know, geopolitical at the moment risks and uncertainties. There's so much happening out there that we need to be very versatile and ensure we accommodate our hotel partners depending on where they are in the world. You know, we've got clients in Poland, which are just on the border with Ukraine, which are currently actively in war. And same thing applies, you know, like Turkey and the Middle East at the moment and elsewhere globally. So it's challenging times for the hotel industry.
And so you said about the challenges there. What are the challenges that you see going forward that you know, in terms of the business getting to where it wants to be, the kind of big picture there, which clearly there is of, you know, of being able to serve more. And I love that, by the way, you know, about serving and supporting the customers. What else do you see as the big challenges that are coming up for Profit Room?
With exponential growth and hyper growth within the business, there's always challenges coming up. Right now in the UK, it's about growing our presence, looking at our marketing strategies, how we can grow our business and grow our kind of perception within the industry as well as that leading technology provider to drive that revenue, drive that spend, and maximizing conversions for those outstanding hotels across the UK. That's challenges specifically identified within the UK market. In South Africa, for instance, there's other challenges that we're facing there. We're working with some of the top leading providers in the South African market and in Africa generally. And the team is constantly, currently, actively are meeting in person to identify what can be done to make sure we are ahead of the curve. A lot of that is definitely relating to recruitment, how we onboard new team members, make sure they're onboarded as quick as possible, quicker than they have been before, and make sure they're as effective and as efficient as we can. Because that, you know, the remote culture, a lot of our team members work as a digital nomads off the beach or whatever. And it's about making sure we facilitate that kind of lifestyle that we have chosen as a brand, as a business, and embed those individuals as quickly and as easily as possible into the business. Because we're only as good as our staff. We're only as good as our team members. We have some cracking solutions, but it's constantly questioning that status quo. So what we can do and look at how we can onboard those people. And so that's a global challenge, you know, in terms of recruitment, where those people might be. But technology is facilitating that to a great extent because it makes it much simpler, much easier to acquire some great talent, no matter where they are in the world.
And do you talked about obviously being remote. Is there a lot of remote interaction with customers, or is a lot of that more, you know, in person kind of interactions?
It's a mix between both, really. Quite frankly, you know, hoteliers are really busy. Depending on what time of the year it is, they will be working on their budgets, forecasts, and strategies, or whatever they might be working through. Our dedicated customer success team that really look and at individual accounts, at their performance, how they manage that performance and indicate specific gaps. within that, how our solution can perform. That's on a, you know, daily, weekly basis calls over the video, over the Zoom, Google Meets, or whatever it might be that the hotels might be utilizing. So this is all done remotely, but quite frankly, we've got budgets in hand to make sure, you know, our dedicated UK-based team meet those partners and those hotels face-to-face where need be, where possible. And we encourage as much as possible, as it is feasible, to have face-to-face interactions. Because at the end, we're all people, and the hospitality industry is all about having that human interaction. You know, the reception team, the GMs, they all deal with their in-house guests on a daily basis. And quite frankly, that is their nature. So we kind of aim to plug into that and ensure we serve them in that way that they're that is relevant to them. So 100%, you know, we have all the intentions of making sure we meet in person. So next week or in a couple of weeks, two of my colleagues are going down south to Cornwall to meet all our existing partners and new potential opportunities that we've got with new clients down in the southwest. And it's having that right balance, utilizing that technology that is available to, you know, have multiple meetings within a day, but actually have that human interaction where that is an option.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, balance technology and just that old school physical get together.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely from the front end kind of customer interaction, shall I say, with our team in sales and marketing, customer success. But then, you know, you've got the likes of our developers and, you know, that are constantly kind of sitting in their scripts and all the coding in the back end, which, you know, that's, of course, it's all remote. And it's about having that human element between the teams. So quite frankly, we go through a significant investment that we bring all those 280, 290 individuals once a year to Poland, to our head office, where we can meet in person and spend some time together. So, you know, we know that it's not just a computer right in front of us or a screen with a camera, but it's actually physical beings somewhere there, and really builds that exciting culture of being able to question each other, you know, because once we've got a bit, we've built that really close relationship amongst the team, we are able to question what we do and how we can do better, what we can do different, and really drive results.
I think the fact that you mentioned that you've got a customer success team straight away says that that's the right kind of, you know, business. Anyone who puts a department in that is dedicated to the customer's success, that's focused on the customer, is going the right way. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'd like to hope so. We definitely see the benefits of that. We see the value it brings to our clients, the value it brings to us as a business. And, you know, it only portrays through our daily tasks and what the team is responsible for. Because, you know, technology is more and more so becoming more accessible. And we, on a daily, weekly basis, we see new solutions being implemented, whether in the hospitality industry and retail industry, which are really cool. But then when you have cool solutions, you need to implement them, and you need to implement them properly. And specifically within the hotel business, there's so many elements in terms of making sure the revenue that comes in through the booking engine, your online distribution, your strategy, what commercial setup you've got. There's multiple faceted elements there to make sure you position your business correctly. And quite frankly, you know, there's some amazing revenue managers there, some commercial directors within the UK and further afield, that have some amazing results. We've just launched our case study with St. Michael's resorts down in Cornwall and Falmouth. And the team there is unbelievable. The stuff and the packages that they've put on board with a proper booking engine and the success they've seen over the past few years has only been kind of augmented with the support of our customer success team and the hotel team as well. Because it's like an additional hand to their business where we can work hand in hand to drive results for them.
So you talked about marketing and brand a couple of times already. What's your general activity on the marketing front at the moment? And, you know, what works well for you? What have you struggled with? Where have you seen some of the success and some of the growth, you know, kind of attributed to that marketing activity?
Yeah, and it will vary by market, actually, quite significantly, which is interesting. We're in the process also of migrating our CRM from Zoho to HubSpot as well, to facilitate much more of that marketing activity. And quite frankly, that often disjointed sales and marketing operations because we want to bring them into one. We have dedicated marketing teams within each market. So we've got a dedicated marketing manager for the UK, for the Nordics, for South Africa, for Poland, Czech and Slovakia. So we really find the benefit and the value of having a dedicated marketing team for each market because we have the ability of personalizing and tailoring our offering to that market and what might be relevant. Because what's relevant here in the UK might not necessarily be relevant in Slovakia or Czech Republic or Poland, as a matter of fact. So we really see how we do work as a one and as a whole and as a business in global terms, but very much so personalizing that approach to each market where possible. But at the same time, we have a global marketing team based in Poland, quite frankly, at the moment, looking at our digital spend and paid ads, what we can do on our social media, website presence. So there's a couple of elements there when it comes to marketing and our presence and where our spend is attributed to. Looking at the UK, for instance, of course, it's all that put together and looking how we can engage with our clients much more in a face-to-face approach, building account-based account-based selling campaigns. We've got identified clear target lists and target audience of clients we would love to work with because we know our solution would be immensely beneficial for them. And we build dedicated campaigns around them. I.e. right now, we're I can't disclose too much at the moment because it's only next week, but we've got a dedicated campaign we're working for Valentine's where we're personally going to meet with quite a few hoteliers just around Valentine's Day. It's a small touch point. Hotels do that quite often where they'll go and they meet with their MICE agents, delegates. And this is a way of operating the way hotels operate within our business model as well. And that's something that works within the UK. In South Africa, on the other side, they're very much partner-based and partner-led, where it's really building a close network with key industry decision-makers and being able to build that bubble and those influencers around our business. And that's all down to kind of marketing, sales, and business partners activity.
So it sounds like a mix of the programmatic and kind of automated digital based systems, but then, like you say, proper, the old school where marketing crosses into sales and it's actually liaising with people, like you've said, actually meeting people, talking through things and building relationships.
100%. 100%. And we've got a team, the marketing team specifically within each market is there to facilitate our sales team. So we build a sales and marketing strategy together. And depending on what our focus and strategy is from a sales capacity and from a sales point of view and a customer success point of view, we build that kind of marketing strategy around that. So i.e. the account-based selling or dedicated events that we base around those target audience that we're looking for, specific road trips from a marketing point of view in terms of engaging with those potential clients and our industry partners on a daily, weekly basis within their premises, some outstanding, beautiful hotels around up and down the country.
I think already in this conversation, you've given a lot of good, real strong advice there for other businesses to the kind of approach to customer relationship, the kind of onboarding with customers and supporting customers and kind of the growth challenges and things you've said as well. Kind of final question for me is what would be the one piece of advice that you would give to someone in your position? After all that you've taken us through there, yeah, what do you think would be a real key bit of advice?
Ooh, I love this question. So I have to say, what would be the key advice I would give to one person or somebody within this within the business? I'd say probably that we've all got a plan, and the plan is great until you get your first punch. So the plan is great and it's all facilitated, but when you first get your first punch, the plans can change, and make sure you're always agile. We're within a constant business model that at the moment, geopolitical changes and macroeconomics are changing quite drastically on a daily basis. So make sure your business is versatile, be as agile as possible, and never give up. Just always question the status quo and push forward. Stick to your plan. do the best at, you know, having your vision in at hand. You know, our vision and our ultimate goal is to be the number one booking technology provider for outstanding hotels globally. That's what we want to achieve. And that's what we're striving for. Of course, getting there is not going to be easy. It's, you know, it's a meticulous step-by-step process of how we're going to get there. But it's about making sure that, you know, no matter what, how many punches we get, how many challenges come throughout the process, is that we keep on going and we keep on striving with our team together into that kind of vision and our purpose as a, and, you know, our ultimate why.
I apologize for piggybacking on that great bit of advice, but I always say myself that a measure of a leader or a leadership team is you know, the actions and the behaviors of when things get tough, not when things are easy. And yeah, certainly, like you mentioned, COVID, for instance, you know, I can imagine the plan goes out the window because even if you try and force your agenda through and your plan through, everyone else's plans out the window as well, especially in your industry.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when it comes to leadership, you know, I think that's a, as well, like a completely different topic, which we can be chatting for an hour and hours really quick.
That's part two.
But one thing that I loved, I was in a conference last week in London, the Global Revenue Forum, and one of the discussions on the panel and on the stage was about leadership. And I loved it because I very much kind of resembled and really could resonate within what they were saying, where, you know, as a leader, yes, of course, it's about the team leading you to a certain extent, but actually, quite frankly, it's about me as a leader serving my team and making sure I serve everything that my team members require to make sure they are their own leaders within their area of expertise and within their area of influence. Because if I can serve them and make sure they are their own leaders within their area of responsibilities, they're successful. And when my team is successful, we're all successful. And, you know, we definitely want aim at striving to that mutual success at the bottom of that trip.
100%. 100%. We'll link to the Profit Room website and social profiles in the show notes. This has been a really great spotlight session. Really great inspiration and insights and tips that you've provided, Patrick. Really enjoyed it. I can imagine. Yeah, I definitely think there's scope for a part two, a catch up, and see how things are going, and talk much more.
Si, it's been a pleasure. It's generally been an honor to join this podcast. That being said, you know, part two can be in a month's time, 6 months' time. We'll see. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different things happening at the time. Because as I said, we need to keep agile and keep on pushing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really, really great fun.
Thanks so much.
And thanks to everyone for listening and watching. Like and share and follow the Contenting Business Podcast, and keep up to date on future episodes as well on the podcast platforms, on our website and on our social media. And until then, I'll see you soon. Bye.